time to acknowledge before God where we fall short, where we fail to do what we know we should do and do things we know we shouldn't do. What I'm going to do, and you can see on that page, which is labelled page one in the handout, some expressions of confession. I'm going to read through each of them just slowly. And as I do, after each one, I'm going to then just stop and leave about a minute. So that'll feel like quite a long time of silence in this context. Just for you to maybe, you might like to silently to yourself or to God, but silently repeat that prayer that I've just made or that statement. If you're feeling brave, you might like to jot down specific things that you want to confess to God on somewhere on that page. That's up to you. You may like to mimic the actions of washing just with your dry hands. So I wash my mouth as you pray. And feel free to turn the video off as we do this if you want a little bit of privacy for this time of confession. So let us confess to God. O Father, I wash my mouth, asking you to forgive me for any gossip, lies, unkind, or careless words I may have spoken. Help me speak words that are truthful and gracious, so that I may encourage and strengthen those you bring across my path. Oh, Father, I wash my head, seeking cleansing from impure, false, and negative thoughts. Help me think about those things that are good and true, noble and right, excellent and praiseworthy. Help me to fix my thoughts on things above and to meditate on your words. Oh, Father, I wash my hands, asking for your cleansing from idleness, injustice, and selfish acts. Use my hands as yours to lift others up, to serve, and to offer aid to those in need. Oh, Father, I wash my feet, asking you to forgive me for following paths I should not have walked, and asking that you would lead me in the straight path that leads to eternal life. Help me fit my feet with the good news of peace to take to those around me. I'll give you just another minute to silently confess anything else that you need to before the Lord. Oh, Father, we do bring all these things before you, knowing that you love us and that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you love to forgive us. Amen. So that brings us to our time of thanksgiving. And there is so much for which we can thank our Father, our Heavenly Father. And the way we will thank him today is if we turn to the next page in our booklet, or if you don't have it there, just again, a blank piece of paper will do. Write down 10 things that you can rejoice in today and thank God for each of these. Now, these can be the same 10 things that you wrote down when we did this activity in week one of our 40 days of prayer, or it can be a brand new list, whatever you like. You might want to thank God for things related to his character, his unchanging character, or it might be things that you have experienced of his goodness to you in recent times, perhaps, and you can write those things down as well. So as you write, let those words and that process of writing be a prayer of thanksgiving to our good and generous and loving God. You know, thanksgiving, it can completely transform our perspective, perhaps especially in hard times, and especially once it becomes a habit. So let's thank him now. I'll give you a few minutes for that. Okay, just a few more seconds. Oh, Father, there are so many things that come to mind when we turn our hearts to thank you. You are a good and a wonderful and a loving and a gracious and a powerful God. Amen. Now, this brings us to a time of supplication or asking God for things. And we don't want our prayers to just be filled with requests, but we don't want to be embarrassed about requests either. Our God loves to hear those things that we want to ask of him, whether it's for ourselves or for others or for his purposes in the world. So we're going to do that now, and the way we'll do that today, we often pray for our personal needs, but as we pray now, we can bring some of those needs in, especially if there are some that are particularly pressing. But if you look at the booklet that you've printed out, pages 4 and 5, there's quite a list of prayer points there around our movement, our Baptist family of churches. That's on page 4, and then on page 5, and it's quite small there to fit it all in, but our church's prayer points. And these are all the prayer points. If you weren't able to print this off, then they are the same prayer points that are in our 40 Days of Prayer booklet, day by day, repeated each week. So you could always, if you don't have this in front of you, you could open up that little booklet that we've been working through in 40 Days of Prayer. And if you don't have either of them, you're going to be in groups of about 5 people, and there should be hopefully a couple of people at least in each group that have these prayer requests in front of them. And we're just going to spend some time. I'm going to put you in breakout groups in a minute, so that'll just be random. You'll be with about 5 people, and we're asking you to pray together. So unmute yourselves once you're in those groups and just pray together, asking God, especially around these requests we're wanting to make for our family of churches and for our church, to see God move in and through and around us according to his good purposes. So I will put you into groups. You will probably have to click a button. You might have to go into the groups once you're invited. So here we go. Enjoy. You'll be in these groups for between 10 and 15 minutes, and you'll get a little warning before we come back.
Have we all got our sound on?
Yes. Hello.
G'day. How are you?
That happens with Zoom. And you might have heard that little note, recording in progress. So we are recording this meeting at the moment. So if anyone has a concern about that and would prefer, if there's some issue about being recorded, let us know. Okay, so I hope that was a helpful time of approaching God with our requests. And even with that period of time, there are so many things that we could have prayed for that we if your group was anything like ours, that we didn't get to because there's just more. Now, if you give me a moment, what we're going to do now that we've had this time of prayer, we're going to play a short video that Carolyn Altman has prepared around prayer and fasting. So you just need to give me a moment to find that, actually.
Today, as you meet together on your day 20 time of reflection within the 40 days of prayer, I want to do some teaching on the importance of prayer and fasting. And I'd like to start off by sharing with you the 9 reasons of why I practice prayer and fasting. So why do we fast? Well, because Jesus assumes we will. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 17, he says twice, "And when you fast," not if, when. We fast because it gives us more time to spend with God. You use the time you gain from what you give up and spend it listening for the voice of God. You think about if you give up one meal a day, or social media, or binge watching, how much time would you save? We fast because it helps us focus on God's voice. So often we think, why isn't God speaking to me? But maybe the better question is, what's blocking the voice of God that I'm not able to hear what he's saying? We have constant distractions that completely surround our lives 24/7 that block our ability to hear the voice of God. We fast not so we can get more of God, although that often happens, but so that God can get more of us. For all that God has given us, we want to give back to our Father God. We fast because it can help you with an answer you've been seeking, as there's a unique sensitivity that comes through prayer and fasting that helps you discern God's will. And this is often what my husband and I will do at the start of the year if we aren't sure what direction God would have us go that year. It can be used when praying for a spiritual breakthrough as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 2 to 3, it says, "Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea.' Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help." And what happened? Well, you can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. But it goes on to tell us that the people didn't even need to fight. They just had to take up their positions, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. We fast because some types of prayer ministry require prayer and fasting. For example, in Mark, when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon in the possessed boy, Jesus said that some kinds of demons will only come out with prayer and fasting. We fast because we see in both the Old and New Testaments that new seasons of God's favor and work were preceded by fasting. Some examples of this are Moses fasting before he received the law, Jesus fasting before the start of his earthly ministry, and Paul fasting before the start of his missionary ministry. Nehemiah, in getting the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt, asked God for favor in his situation. He fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. I'll say that again, as I think that's really important to get. He fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. And lastly, we fast to humble ourselves and show our total submission and dependence on God's will and purpose in our own lives and in the life of the church. There's many different types of fasting you can do. For example, a day fast, a week fast, the first 21 days of the year, or Lent, which is the 40 days preceding Easter, helping us to remember Jesus' fasting and withdrawal into the desert for his 40 days. If I'm doing a longer fast, like a 21-day fast or a Lenten fast, it usually comprises of two things that I give up. And the first thing is I give up something that I love that may have become a bad habit that I've gotten into that God may want me to break. For example, in some years, an addiction to social media or midnight snacking or binge watching Netflix. And secondly, I give up something that I just love to show God that he's more important to me, or that my dependency on him is more important than my dependency on that thing. For example, sleep, getting up half an hour earlier to pray, or giving up one meal a day. Being brought up a very strict Baptist, it was certainly taboo to have anything to do with what was thought of as Catholic Lent. So I only did my very first fast for Lent 4 years ago. I gave up Facebook, chips, chocolates, lollies, cakes, dessert, and half an hour of sleep. In hindsight, that was a lot for my first 40 days fast, and I wouldn't recommend it. But in those 40 days, God worked an absolute miracle in our family through an amazing number of circumstances. I won't go into it all, but our daughter had become a Christmas and Easter Christian, working as a part-time bartender while she finished her degree at the National Arts School. In those 40 days of fasting and praying, she started going to a home group where they prayed for a job for her, where she'd be able to work days instead of weekend nights so that she could start going to church with them. She didn't just get any job working days. She got a job in the art industry, two train stops from our home, totally unheard of. She started going to church on Sunday nights and became a permanent member of that home group. Was that Lenten fast worth it? Yes, yes, yes. Can I encourage you to spend the final 20 days of prayer by including some manner of fasting? And there's now time for you to spend some time with God and work through the questions on your handout to do with prayer and fasting. Thank you.
So, there's our challenge. Did that come through clearly? Yeah, good, good. Okay, I personally haven't exposed myself to much in this kind of space about Bible teaching, about fasting. Really only tried it once or twice myself. But I find that challenge that Carolyn's brought to us quite compelling. And so I personally would like to give it a go, and I want to put that out there to all of us to consider this challenge of whether there is something that you would be prepared to put aside for the remaining time of this 20 days, just for those reasons that Carolyn shared with us. Jesus assumes we will fast. It gives us, depending on what we choose, it might give us more time to spend with God. It can help us to focus more on God's voice. It may help us to discern an answer that we are seeking. it might be important in terms of praying for a spiritual breakthrough. She says some types of prayer ministry need it. And there was that scriptural example. New seasons of God's favor are often preceded by feasting, fasting. And it's an important way of humbling ourselves. So for these reasons, you might consider the challenge. Now, on pages 6 and 7 in the handout, there are three questions there to help us think about this challenge. And I'm going to give you a few minutes now, just individually, to work through those questions. Now, you might like to turn your screen off while you do that. I will give you 7 minutes to do that. If you finish those questions in less than 7 minutes, on the next page in the handout are the time to reflect questions for this week. They're the same questions that are in the 40 Days of Prayer handout for this week. So again, if you don't have this handout for today printed out, you can open up your 40 Days of Prayer booklet. And also, just in case you don't have this handout, while we're doing this time of reflection about fasting, I will put those questions up on the screen for your reference. So 7 minutes to reflect on this challenge. Okay, good. Well, I'd love to hear what some of you are thinking about this challenge, but this probably isn't the best context to do too much of that. But here's my thought on this. When we do try something like this, for those of us that are taking up the challenge, it is a really good idea to find a way of supporting each other in that and providing a little bit of accountability. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is sometime today, so before you hop into bed tonight, find at least one other person who will be willing to do that with you. So you can share with them and they can share with you, if they're doing it as well, how they felt challenged by God in terms of fasting over the next 20 days and what it is that they're going to be fasting, you're going to be fasting from. Share that with each other. And then over the next 20 days, keep in touch about this, even if that's just a matter of sending a text once a week, but even better, maybe a phone call and spend a couple of minutes praying for each other to support each other and hold each other accountable into this space where we feel like God has been speaking to us today. So there you go. Find an accountability partner before you go to bed tonight and then keep in touch over the next 20 days. Now, someone's waving. Les, you're waving. Would you like to say something to us? Okay, go for it. You need to unmute yourself though.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
When I was younger, I just want to encourage everybody in this. When I was younger, I didn't know who I was going to spend the rest of my life with. So I went without food for what I thought was an unknown period of time. It took 2 weeks, and I'm married to my wife for 48 years. It works. And God showed me when I had to stop, I knew that I had reached my answer. I'd got my answer. And then I had to wait. But it was amazing, and I've never forgotten that experience. Thank you.
Thanks, Les. Yeah, look, God is good. And when we seek to approach him, he blesses us. And, of course, none of this is magic. We're not saying we can kind of twist God's arm by fasting. It's not like that. But it's about all those things that we mentioned before. It is a way of just giving him more of ourselves, really, and letting him hear from us that we are more dependent on him than we are on these other things. He's more important to us than these other things. Now, that we do need to, note some warnings. You know, if you've got health issues, you should talk to your GP before fasting from food. And one of our participants this morning just reminded me of that, and that's true. And we should always check our motivations for our fasting. Notice that Carolyn said she chooses one thing that she knows isn't doing her any good, and so she knows it will be good for her to fast from that. But she also chooses something that she just fasts from to show God that he's more important to her than that other thing. So it's important. That's the second question that was there in our reflection time, isn't it? Why will we be doing this fast? So what are our motivations? And as we reflect on these things, now I'm sure that we will have encouragements to share with each other about how God has blessed us. Right. Does anybody want to say anything else about this before we move on to a time of communion? I will be handing back to John in a moment for that.